This is May 30th, 2017 on Bicentennial Plaza in front of the Museum of History. This is the More Money Rally for healthcare. They're up near the Capitol this time out. I'm going to pause it for a minute.
Traffic. We should be getting started within around 6:15, so we'll keep the music going. And you know, this is truly what democracy looks like. So we'll be getting started shortly. Thank you all for being here. Text your friends, tweet your friends, and tell them to join us here at the Bicentennial Mall for the mass rally for healthcare. Thank you.
Yeah. started very shortly. We're going to have a press conference. We're going to have everyone join us on the stage around 6:15. We'll make another announcement.
Looks like it's good, we're going to start at 6:15.
Those of you who are not speaking, we want you on the stage. Everyone who's not speaking on the stage.
Well, I'm Good evening, family. Good evening, family. Aren't we glad that this movement that we are all a part of is a fluid movement? It is ever changing. The script doesn't always stay the same, so we have to be willing to alter and make alterations and adjustments as they come to us. All right? And we are not going to do a rally, but we're going to do a press conference. And so we're grateful today that earlier today there were some 32 persons who engaged in civil disobedience. Yeah. For the repeal of health care. And we know that we have a right based on the Article 1 and Section 12 of our state constitution that says the people have a right to assemble, to consult for their common good, to instruct their representatives, and to apply to the General Assembly for redress of grievances. But secret political societies are dangerous to the liberties of a free people and shall not be tolerated. That's why we are here, because we do not tolerate all of the secret meetings that the General Assembly has conducted for the past few years. And so we have come into existence the Forward Together Moral Monday movement. Forward together. Forward together. Forward together. Joining us today here are a few impacted people who will come in this order. We will hear from John Thompson, Christina Root, Xenia Ekinson, Garrick Brennan, and Leslie Boyd. Let us greet them with a hearty forward together.
Not one step back.
John Thompson. I know he's here because I just talked to him.
There he is.
Followed by Christina Root.
Thank you so much. I'm John Thompson from over in Greensboro. I'll turn 60 this summer. Thank you. I've been married for 37 years. I have 3 grown sons. I'm pro-life. I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and for 28 years, I voted Republican. Now, here in North Carolina, as you get a little bit older, the boss does not have to have a reason to fire you. And in 2013, that's exactly what they did. And when I lost my job, I also lost my health insurance. Now, when my wife and I received the $2,000 a month COBRA bill in the mail, if you've ever lost your job, you know what I'm talking about. That's what it would have cost me out of pocket to keep my employer health insurance. We just looked at each other and laughed. Now, in the past, we would just suck it up and do without and pray to God that no one would get sick or be rushed to the emergency room or have to go under the surgeon's knife, because if we did, we knew our goose would be cooked.
That's right.
We'd be forever branded with a pre-existing condition. Right. We'd never get health insurance again.
Right.
Well, it took me a year to find another job with insurance. Now, during the course of that very year, those Tea Party nuts right over the way in the legislature slashed unemployment benefits 50%.
Right.
Also, during that very same year, I got cancer. But thank God for Obamacare. The marketplace had just launched. The marketplace had just launched. I signed this up immediately. The tax credit helped us to afford the premium. It was our lifeline during my year out of work. In fact, Obamacare saved my life. Without it, I would have been uninsurable for the rest of my days. No diagnostic test. No surgery, no rehab, no hope. Have you ever sat by the bedside of a loved one and watched them slowly and needlessly die of prostate cancer? Well, I have, and it's not a pretty sight. Now, I'm not a deadbeat or a freeloader.
That's right.
For 40 years, I've paid my taxes. I've worked to support my family. I've given to my church. I've contributed to my community. But In my moment of need, when my back was against the wall, in the richest country here in the history of the universe,
right,
where was the GOP for me?
Tell it.
In fact, if they could have done to Obamacare then what they're getting ready to do to it now, shoot, I'd probably be lying dead in my grave somewhere today. So I'd like to speak to our GOP representatives, because this might be the closest I ever get to saying what I want to say to them. My question to you guys is this. Now, there's no evidence over the last 40 years that tax cuts on the rich and big business either pay for themselves, trickle down to the rest of us, or do anything on our behalf. When you get rid of Obamacare and you replace it with Trump Care, and then you pass your tax reform bill, now it's important to remember all three of those are interconnected.
That's right.
You guys are giving big business in the top 1%, those elite million or so families way up at the very top making more than $400,000 a year or more, you're giving them a massive $3.8 trillion tax cut. Now, that's a huge number. With $3.8 trillion, you could pay off the entire annual budget deficit of the United States in 6 years. For $3.8 trillion, you could fund a four-year college education over at UNC Chapel Hill for every baby born in North Carolina for the next 64 years. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff you could be doing with $3.8 trillion, but instead of it, you're giving it away to a bunch of rich folks. Now, in addition to that tax cut that you're giving to the wealthy, to my GOP friends, on the one hand, you're giving those massive tax cuts away to a small group of fat cats who don't deserve it and certainly don't need it, while on the other hand, you're going to gut Obamacare and rip away affordable health insurance from 20 million of us.
Right.
Secondly, you're going to strip away pre-existing condition protection from another 50 million of us. The New England Journal of Medicine estimates that 50 million innocent Americans are going to lose their lives, and you're also going to increase the budget deficit by over $6 trillion.
Shame. Shame.
Our Republican colleagues, I'd like for you to explain to us how that is going to make America great again.
All right, thank you, John Thompson. Now we will hear from Christina Root. And let me say this, everybody. I'm one of the nicest guys that the Forward Together Moral Movement knows. And I'm asked to keep you to a limit. So I have to do that. So when I tap you on the back, please acknowledge and give someone else a chance. Christina Root.
Scroll down here, sorry. Good afternoon. My name is Christina Root, and I live right here in downtown Raleigh, right up the street, actually. About 2 years ago, before going out for a run right down Person Street to City Market, I discovered a lump as I was adjusting my sports bra. After many mammograms, ultrasounds, MRIs, and several biopsies, it was confirmed that I did have breast cancer. I was 42 years old. After more tests, it was determined that I had a rare and aggressive type of breast cancer called triple negative breast cancer, and I was already at stage 3. My world turned upside down, and I entered into what I call the vortex of hell. Because of the aggressive nature of my cancer, I began chemotherapy right away. I did 16 rounds on an accelerated program. I wound up having to have a blood transfusion, trips to the ER during this process. I took more medications than I can even recall. At the time, I was single and living alone and sometimes too weak to walk up the stairs. Prior to that, I had been in the best shape of my life. I ran almost every day, but then I found myself in the fight for my life. Less than 4 weeks after that, after finishing the 16 rounds of chemo, I was fast-tracked and had my first mastectomy. 4 weeks after that, fast-tracked 35 rounds of very high-dose radiation daily. And after that, I made a decision to continue another 6 months of chemotherapy preventatively in the hopes that my cancer would not return. At this state, this is about all that I can do. I have additional surgeries that I can do preventatively, but there are no more treatment options for this particular kind of breast cancer for me to take. The current Obamacare plan is far from perfect, and I personally have had quite a few frustrations with it, including my insurance getting inadvertently dropped through no fault of my own. It's an imperfect system for sure, but the answer is not to repeal it and replace it with the proposed HCA that's now in the Senate. Everybody wants lower premiums, and I certainly don't have the answers, but I do know the answer cannot be to allow states to opt out of the very provisions that have saved mine and so many others' lives. Though I consider myself a moderate, I am indeed a registered Republican. But I stand before you as a registered Republican and a breast cancer survivor and say that thank God that health insurance companies cannot charge me 2 and 3 times more than other policies because of my pre-existing condition.
That's right.
Thank God for the ACA. Thank God that because of the ACA, women are finally able to get the genetic testing for a BRCA mutation to see if they're at risk of getting breast and ovarian cancer. And be able to get those preventative surgeries that will save their lives. Before this mandate, women were afraid to get this very simple genetic test for fear that they would be dropped by their insurance.
Right.
How many women have needlessly died of ovarian or breast cancer for fear of their rates going up? This is a huge change that's protected under the ACA and cannot go away.
That's right.
Thank God the insurance companies can't impose a cap on my insurance coverage because of my pre-existing condition. The cost of breast cancer, I'm scared to even total it up. I'm probably approaching $1 million, I would guess. Thank God for the Affordable Care Act and members of Congress who want to allow states to opt out of mandatory pre-existing coverage need to know that that is not the way to go.
That's right.
Shame.
If this happens, I don't think that the General Assembly would do is in our best interest. I don't have faith in Congress to make changes to the Affordable Care Act that are going to help me, a single woman who is a breast cancer survivor. The CBO office says that my health care bill could possibly go as high as $50,000 a year. $50,000 a year just for my premium. This can't be the case. I don't know the answers, but I know that the current bill that's in the Senate, the ACHA, is not the way to go. Please help me continue to fight for health coverage that people need and deserve in the richest nation on earth. Thank you.
I hope you all heard something that Christina said, and that was that she is a Republican. Her speaking here to us this afternoon is evidence that this movement is not about Republican and Democrat. It's not about left and right. It's about right and wrong.
Good afternoon. My name is Zena Erickson, and I'm here because I'm not willing to be a bystander to the regression of North Carolina. I came here today frustrated that this illegitimate legislature chose to deny health care coverage to many North Carolinians, to cause people to suffer even though economically it would make sense to expand Medicaid.
Yes.
Just to tell you a little bit about me, I'm 22, I'm a student full-time, and I'm a caregiver for my great-grandmother. I'm with her 24/7 every other week, and despite working long hours providing health care to someone else, I'm uninsured. The reason I can't be on my parents' insurance is because they're both disabled and on Medicare. If North Carolina expanded Medicaid, I would qualify.
Right.
I want people to understand, I have a pre-existing condition and I suffer every day. But I'm not the only one suffering because Medicaid was not expanded in North Carolina, nor am I suffering the worst. So you can understand my frustration with this illegitimate legislature choosing not to expand Medicaid, denying access to healthcare to many North Carolinians. But they got it wrong. Healthcare is a right, not a privilege. And we are all here today standing up for our rights again.
That's right.
We must protect the interests of our communities and we understand we need to be talking about expanding access to health care, not stopping the Affordable Care Act from being repealed. We are all here to remind our public servants they have a job to serve us as their constituents, and that not only means expanding Medicaid so that people like me can have access to health coverage, but fighting for a universal health care system so that everybody can have access. Because after all, health care is a right, not a privilege. Yeah. And we will not back down. Forward together.
Not one step back. Christina, stand here with me for 1 minute. I want you to know that Christina is the Secretary of the Youth and College Division of the North Carolina NAACP. Senior. Zena. Zena. All right, we will now hear from Ms. Leslie Boy.
I have a quick message for the legislators who had me arrested this morning. The Affordable Care Act would have saved the life of my son, who died because he was denied care. And the people who are against expanding access to health care to all of us like to call themselves pro-life and Christian, but they will see judgment. And on Judgment Day, I predict they're going to go in and they're going to try and sit with the lambs, and Jesus is going to say, you're in the wrong seats. You belong over there. And they're going to say, but Lord, we love you. And Jesus is going to say, really? Because I was hungry and you cut food stamps and meals on wheels and school lunches. And I was thirsty and you allowed polluters to poison my water. And I was sick and you voted 60 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And you refused to expand Medicaid. And people died. And I was in prison. And you allowed somebody to make a profit off of my misery. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it also to me. Go away from me. I do not know you.
Forward together. Now we are going to hear from the medical professionals. We have two folk representing. One is Susan Eder, who is a psychiatrist, and she will be followed by Sarah Cryer, who is a physician assistant student. Let's receive them with a hearty applause.
Hello, my name is Dr. Susan Eder. 4 years ago today was the first time I was arrested at the General Assembly while engaging in civil disobedience. I was there to protest the callous legislature and its refusal to accept the Medicaid expansion and allow 500,000 of our fellow North Carolinians to have access to safe, quality, and affordable care. Today, I am here to talk about the same issue, and I can tell you it might even get worse. I am weary, I am disappointed, but I am not giving up.
That's right.
I am speaking as a doctor. I'm a child psychiatrist. I've worked with families in the most desperate of situations. They have children with autism or bipolar disorder, or they have adolescents struggling with chemical dependency or suicidality. Before the Affordable Care Act, these families who only wanted the best for their children could not get care because these were considered pre-existing conditions, and they had what we then callously knew of as a carve-out. Thankfully, President Obama managed to get the ACA passed in 2009, and insurance companies were no longer allowed to exclude people because of these pre-existing conditions. But the cruel, callous North Carolina legislature did not expand Medicaid, which was part of the ACA, and 500,000 people had to go without health care. Now President Trump and the Republicans, or I guess we have the